I want to speak on this particular topic that the Lord himself gave the title to this message in his public ministry. And he simply said, I have come to cast a fire on the earth. How I wish the blaze were already ignited. So this topic, I have come to cast a fire on the earth. And I want you to notice the way the Lord goes about it. We'll see that as the sermon unfolds. The text that I'm going to be preaching out of is the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. And it says that it begins, I want you to notice that they're gathered, and it says here that it was the Feast of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. It's actually a Greek word, Pentecost, which means 50 days. 50 days after Passover, the Jewish people celebrated this Feast of Pentecost, which for them was a feast that celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. That first, if you will, coming of the Holy Spirit, who wrote as if by the finger of God on tablets of stone the law of God. And now we, as a Catholic and Christian church, have taken up this Jewish feast, and we celebrate 50 days, not since Passover, but since Easter. I don't know if you've done your calendar, but it's 50 days ago. It was Easter Sunday. And now we celebrate not the writing of the law of God on stone, but in our hearts. And therefore, we rejoice and we acknowledge that God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them. Now it says that they were gathered on the Feast of Pentecost. And I want you to notice, first of all, the sense of peril that they had. These were frightened disciples. And that is to say, they had received an instruction from the Lord to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And the Lord ascended in 40 days, and they prayed for 9 days, waiting for the Spirit. And on the 10th day, today, the Holy Spirit is given. Now, that tradition of praying for 9 days is where we get the tradition in the Catholic Church of something called a novena. We pray for, sometimes in a special way, we pray for 9 consecutive days or consecutive weeks. And this is this praying for 9 days is scriptural. It's right here. They prayed for 9 days, and on the 10th day, the Spirit came. But notice, they're frightened. They're in this room apart. They're in this one place. They're all huddled together. These are folks who are frightened. They've been told that they're going to have to go out to the whole world, but all they can do is just kind of huddle together in fear. They sense peril. Look what Jesus, they did to him. We might end up on that cross. We might suffer persecution, trial. So they're afraid. They're huddled together in a room, and the doors are closed. Frightened men, frightened women, in a perilous situation. There were probably about 120 of them there. The church was gathered, but they were huddled together in fear. Now, brothers and sisters, this sense of peril, this fear, can come upon any gathering of Christians if we're not careful. It's too easy for us to be afraid to witness. And so we just come together in this room and we huddle together. And inside the church, we're bold. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. But going outside the doors, whoop, silence. Suddenly we're undercover Christians. Suddenly we're stealthy saints. We're hidden holy ones. We're afraid. It's so easy for us to just kind of come and huddle together. And we can be bold inside the room, but outside the room, silence. We're afraid that someone might ridicule us. Afraid that someone might just raise an eyebrow. These early Christians, many of them faced death. But we're afraid of simply having somebody laugh at us. But it is. Here they are. They're huddled together. They're afraid. It's so easy for us to be inwardly focused. Now, brothers and sisters, it's important for us every Sunday to come and pray together. Amen? We've got to come and we've got to kind of huddle up together. We've got to pray. We've got to get instructions. I'm mindful of a football game. And before the play, they all huddle up together. Because you see, you don't want all these lone rangers out there. You want the group to be a team and to think alike and to know that, okay, my role is to run deep and my role is to cut across to the left and my role is to stay back in case he needs to fake it to me. But we huddle up and we get our instructions. Are you praying with me? Now Jesus is the quarterback. He may be using my voice right now, but all right, church, we're all huddled up. So there's a place and a time to come together and to huddle up. But church, if you turn on a football game on Sunday afternoon, I know we're out of season, but that's all right. And all they did was huddle up. How long would you stay tuned? They're just huddling up. There comes a time when you got to execute the play. And there's just too much huddling up that goes on in the churches today. We're all huddled up, but no one's willing to go deep. No one's willing to fall back and take the ball and run with it. They're afraid of getting hit. Now, what kind of a football player would that be who was afraid of getting hit? Well, what kind of a Christian are you or I if we're afraid of getting hit? If we're afraid of taking the ball and running. So, brothers and sisters, there's a place and a time to huddle up. And I'm glad they were huddled up. But the Lord's about to do something with this church here and the Acts of the Apostles, and he's about to do something for us. So it is, brothers and sisters, that it's just too easy for us to be all inwardly focused. What color will we paint the women's bathroom? Where should the priest sit? And what color shall, on and on. We just go on and on with the inner details, but we lose the outside. Are you praying? There comes a time when we break, we come out of the huddle, and we go and execute the play. At the end of this Mass today, Deacon Cyrus has the privilege of saying to you, break! The huddle breaks, and we go, we execute the play. He says, the Mass has ended, now go. Go on home and watch TV. Go ye therefore. That's what it means, right? And teach all nations. All right. So I want you to notice, first of all, they're anxious, they're fearful, and they're all huddled up. It's all right to huddle up, but now the Lord's about to do something. I want you to notice not just the peril here that they're fearing and they're fearful and they're anxious and they're all huddled up and huddling together, but now the Lord sends the power. The power. It says that they were all in one place together, all huddled up, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong, driving wind that filled the entire house in which they were. And then there appeared to them tongues like fire, parted and came to rest on them, and they were filled.
filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, notice the power. Suddenly, something comes upon this frightened community. This community is frightened and all huddled up. The Lord acts. The Lord works. The Lord shakes them up and fills them with his power. There's two images of the Holy Spirit here. First one is the strong driving wind. Now, to understand this, I want to say to you that the word spirit is related to the word for breath. Now, if a person stops breathing, pretty soon they're on their way to becoming a corpse, amen? You gotta have the breath of life. And the word in Hebrew for spirit is ruach. My throat's still a little raspy, but when you say the word in Hebrew, you have to make it real breathy. Ruach. Ruach. It means the breath, the Spirit of God. Go back with me in your mind to Genesis chapter 2. There's a second account of creation, and it says that God made Adam by scooping clay from the earth, and he formed the clay into a man, and then he breathed. He breathed into this Adam, this man, and he became a living spirit. The very breath of God was breathed into him. That is not said of any of the animals, but only of the human person. But brothers and sisters, Adam and Eve lost that spirit. Now, you might say that the human family stopped breathing. Now, let's take somebody across the street and they fall over. They may be having a heart attack and they're not breathing. Somebody needs to perform CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Breathe life breath back into them. Well, when the church, the whole human family, lay out dying, God did not abandon us. He sent his son. And he, together with his son, now are sending their Holy Spirit. God performs cardiopulmonary resuscitation on the human family. There's this wind that comes into the house where they were gathered, and suddenly dead and fearful people come to life. Oh, church, you see, the first image of the Holy Spirit is the very Ruach Adonai, the breath of God. And it comes back into the human family on the day of Pentecost. And you go from being on your way to death to being alive and well. Praise the Lord. And the other image is tongues of fire. I won't develop it as long, but I'll just say this, that you can't encounter fire and come away unchanged. You're going to either get burnt up or you're going to get purified. Now, our understanding of the Holy Spirit is that God is not a destroying fire, but God is a purifying fire. But you cannot encounter the Holy Spirit and come away unchanged. If you come into this church on Sunday morning and you are open to what God is offering you, you will not leave this church unchanged. Because God is a holy fire. God's going to set this world on fire one of these days. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about how he's going to do it. I want you to notice next, not only they were gathered and they sensed peril, but now the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Well, what is the result? The result is proclamation. It says here, says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in different tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Church, they started talking. I have it on the best of authority that they broke out into a gospel song in that upper room. They started saying, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. This pulpit's starting to shake. They can't not speak because the Spirit has come upon them and they are proclaiming the great works of God. Song goes on to say, I started walking, started talking, started singing, started shouting. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. So, Spirit takes that tape off their mouth. They start talking, speaking. Now, I want you to notice something about the proclamation. The proclamation is miraculous because they are speaking naturally in their own tongue. But everybody is able to hear them in their own tongue. In other words, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is understanding. Now, you know where I'm headed with this because I've been asking you to pray this week. I'm going to ask some of us to go out of here and start talking. I'm going to develop that in a minute, but I want you to know, I know what happens in your mind and in my mind. We think, well, I'm not eloquent enough. I don't know enough. I don't. It's not about you. Notice, they are just speaking in their own natural tongue. It's natural to them to speak in their own language. Amen? But the Holy Spirit translates. Now, when you go and you start to speak to your family members or start to walk this neighborhood, don't worry about whether you're eloquent. I want you to know something. I am not a skilled preacher. God is. I am not eloquent. God is. I am not knowledgeable. God is. It's not Charles Pope talking to you. It's God. And you know, if God can write straight with crooked lines, he can use me. I am not the brightest theologian on the planet. I did not go, I went to seminary, but I didn't learn much about preaching there. The Holy Spirit translates. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Lord said, don't worry. They're going to hand you over. They're going to call you names. Don't worry about what you're going to say. It will be given to you what you're going to say. You don't have any idea whether or not you've been successful when you evangelize. Only God does. I can give the most distracted, awful sermon I thought I've ever given, and it brings someone to conversion. It's not about me. And it's not about you. So they're all talking in their own language, but everyone hears what they need to hear. Are you praying? Someone comes up to me after the sermon and said, you know, you said such and so in your sermon, and that really touched my heart. I did not say any such thing. I know I didn't say it, but that's what they heard, and God gave it. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about the Lord speaking. We're going to need to begin to go to these neighbors, our neighbors. We're going to begin to need to go back into our family. And don't worry about whether or not you're eloquent enough, skilled enough. Listen, Moses stuttered. Noah was drunk. Lazarus was dead. God used him. What's your excuse? What's mine? The Lord is the one who does the work. He'll use our mouth. He'll use our feet. He'll use our knuckles to knock on the door. But God opens the door, and God does the talking. And you say, well, I could have said it better. I could. So what? God can use anything. He can speak through Balaam's donkey. He can speak through you and he can speak through me. All right. The final part of the sermon today then is simply this. We've talked about the peril. Oh, they're all huddled up. They need to break the huddle and execute the play. And so God sent power upon them, and here they are. They're executing the play. They're proclaiming, and God is using their proclamation. It says in the text, if you read on, that day 3,000 were added to their number. Hallelujah, church. I want to finalize the sermon by a picture. It's all on the walls around you. God has come to cast a fire on the earth, but how's he going to do it? I want you to look in this church. You see that tongue of fire up there in the center of the baldacchino, it's called, that great throne-like canopy? See that tongue of fire? And underneath it is a Latin inscription, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord filled the whole orb of the earth. Spiritus Domini replevit orbem terrarum. The Spirit of the Lord filled the orb of the earth. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is going to fill the whole earth. But how? The church answers the question. It's not magic fairy dust. Look on the walls and you'll see saints. And over the saints, you see a tongue of fire. Over every saint. How does the Lord fill the orb of the earth? How does the Lord cast a fire on the earth? Through the lives of saints. You say, well, yeah, they lived a long time ago. Aha. Uh-huh. Don't just look up on that wall. Look to the person next to you. And then I want you to turn and look at yourself. You see, they had the same humanity that you and I did. And God used them. A tongue of fire came upon them, and they went out, and they started telling somebody what the Lord had done for them. Now, I asked you to pray this week. As you know, we have two fundamental components to our evangelization that we want to begin in earnest beginning in September, and looking at our parish calendar and beginning to set out events, and we want to reach back into our family. We want to have family and friends Sundays. We want to have events that will bring our family back to God's house. We want to have a whole variety. We're going to reach back into our families and make that invitation. But also, there's another part of it, and we're going to walk the neighborhood. And I asked you to pray last week, although I was talking like this. I asked you to pray last week about whether or not you would be willing to be part of a neighborhood outreach. And there are three fundamental parts of that outreach. There are the walkers, the prayers, and the cookers. The walkers will do just what it sounds like. I'm going to walk. We're going to go out two by two and knock on some doors. And you say, but I can't. I'm not sending you out as a theologian. I'm just asking you to tell somebody what the Lord's doing in your life. Basically, we'll knock on doors and we'll say, you know, I'm a member of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Catholic Parish, and we're right here in the neighborhood, and just want to say hello. Want to express our love for you. And I want you to know that the Lord's important in my life. And maybe you have a church home. But if you don't, I just want you to know the doors of our church are wide open. And we love you. And we want to celebrate the Lord with you. And then you'll be able to show them a little calendar of events. Not everybody's ready to come to Mass. But maybe they'll come to a concert. Maybe they'll come to a movie night. Or a book club. Maybe they'll come to our women's support group. But you just show them the invitation and say, we love you. And we just want you to know that we're part of this neighborhood, and you are. If you ever want to come, you're more than welcome. I announce to you Jesus Christ, that he's alive and well in our church. And if you're looking for him, come and find him. And come and go with me to my Father's house. It's not more than that. Well, I need to know what Pope Gregory said when he... No, you don't need to know all the details. You'll have a little card if they have questions about the Catholic faith. The wonderful websites are out there now, and you'll be able to show them where answers like this can be found. You may hear rebukes like you hear about the abuse scandal, and you say, well, we got us a good priest. I hope you can say that. And we've never had that problem. In fact, most of the priests I've ever met, they're good men, and they love the Lord. But you don't have to. We'll have another little website or little pamphlet that explains all that too. I'm just saying to you, we're going to go out and say to our neighbors, we love you, and we want to be friends with you in the Lord. And if they come, they come. We're sowing seeds, brothers and sisters. And whether they come immediately or years from now, I remember one time when somebody from that church dropped by. Maybe now I'm ready to go. It may be years from now. But we're going to walk. So if you're willing to walk, I ask you to pray about that. If you're willing to pray, while we walk, we need people here in church praying at the same time. And then while the prayers are praying and the walkers are walking, some of the cookers will be cooking a light meal for our return. And we'll be able to kind of gather, have a light meal, and just talk a little bit about what we experienced. It's not going to go on forever. It's just 6 weeks in September. We'll do it again in spring, but for now, just 6 weeks in September, just going out six times, and then we're done for the season. It's not interminable. It's not endless. Just asking you, are any of you willing to walk with me? If you are, there's something in your bulletin, there's a form. I'm asking you to fill it out. It simply says, I'm interested and willing in learning more. I'm thinking about being a walker, a prayer, or a cooker. Maybe I'm undecided, but I'm willing to come to orientation on June 9th and June 16th. If you are, fill it out before the offertory today. I tell you this because I want you to put these slips, if you're able to fill one out, I want you to put it in the collection basket. You know, the offertory isn't just where we throw money. The offertory is where we offer our very self to God. We don't just offer our money. We offer our time and our talent, our very selves to God. Brothers and sisters, I asked you to pray, and now I'm just asking you to record the results. If you think you're able to participate in September and into early October in 6 one-week sessions, you know, just six times to go out and do some evangelizing or praying or cooking, fill it out, please, and put it in the collection basket. I remind you, the walls of this church. There was a Christian community that was all huddled up. They were afraid. They were focused on each other. But God acted and sent His Holy Spirit. Church, they started talking, walking, singing, and shouting, and probably cooking. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. And so it is that the Lord comes to cast a fire on the earth. And how is He going to do it? Look on the walls of this church. Look around. And then don't just look up. Look around. Look at your neighbor. Hold up your hands and look at yourself. They were singing a song. I thought I wasn't going to run for Jesus. I thought I wasn't going to testify. But I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. And so it is, brothers and sisters. I ask you, if you're able, join me in a neighborhood outreach. Amen.